This episode of Bushwick Rigor is brought to you by you, the listener, who supports this podcast. You could do that by going to patreon.com/bushwickbreakaway. Very easy. Our secret insiders chat was popping off this weekend. A lot of drama, a lot of fun times, and Goodrow is now a New York Ranger. Everyone was super excited until the contract was revealed. Greg and I will break that down on today's episode of Bushwick Breakaway, but first, let's go to ESPN commentator and legendary New York Ranger, Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Hey, Blue Shirt Breakaway fans. Welcome to the week of the Blue Shirts Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, of patreon.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway, where you can find out the newest, hottest drama and a leak on your Twitter feed. And I'm here with my dear friend Gregory. Greg, say hello.
Oh, no. I don't feel like it. Not today. I thought about it for a second there, and then I was like, nah, fuck it.
I caught him off guard, everybody. right away at the beginning of the show. A lot has happened. I don't even know where to start. I really don't.
Yeah. So, I know where to start. So this was the most profitable weekend I've ever had at Saratoga.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I had this on my list as... alert, do this first. So keep going.
Oh, no. I want to read you a text message exchange I had between myself and our good friend Jeff.
Okay. Congratulations, Jeff.
Because I want it on record that I called all of this as it was happening. I should have had this pulled up.
Yeah, no. Your horse betting wins or the Goodrow contract?
No.
No, oh, you'll there see. Goes a Slack you'll notification. See. Really off to a hot
there
start
you go.
On
hey,
this,
boom.
This podcast.
Boo-de-doo.
Really great podcasting. A minute.
This is not ideal. I really should have had this.
No, you really should have. Absolutely.
I started doing this. What are we even doing?
Do I could cut it.
Start over?
I could cut
no,
it.
That doesn't sound right.
I won't. You want to leave it in? We can.
I said, okay. I found it. Saturday.
Yes.
Ryan, this is Saturday.
Yes.
2:28 p.m. The timestamp it myself.
Yes, I'm at this point slamming beers and throwing axes. Yes.
I was doing a lot of things and betting on horses.
Yes.
I said at 2:28 p.m., ugh, I'm getting confident in my horse handicapping again. Then at 2:54 p.m., Ryan, 2:54 p.m.
Right.
I said, great. Now I'm hitting 10-1 winners. Something bad is going to happen. That was at 2:54 p.m. on Saturday. I am unfamiliar with anything that happened after 2:54 p.m. on Saturday.
That checks. That checks out. Well, let's talk about – do you want to say goodbye to Brett Howden first? I think that might be the best way to open this this
Poor
little
guy.
Podcast.
Poor guy.
Hey, he's in Vegas.
He's Vegas 11. That guy's going to do fucking
He's going to crush
work.
Out there. Numbers.
Oh, my God.
Brett
All
Howden.
The tourists who come there, like, specifically – to get into trouble in
he's
Vegas.
He's going
to
be able to get into Brett a Howden. Show once he's off the team. They're going to hire him. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, good for Brett.
I loved how much attention the reply I got to Jesse Granger, where it was like, Brett Howden scouting report, great looking dude, going to do really well in the Vegas bar scene, not an NHLer. And everyone was like, that is perfect description. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, it is. I think we'll miss talking about the Man Rocket on this show, or the lack of, legally speaking, talking about the Man Rocket on this show.
We should acknowledge, Ryan. We figured out why he didn't work in New York, though. They were just playing him out of position.
He's a winger.
No, he's a defenseman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that what happened? I missed the defenseman
part. Yeah, the Vegas, when they announced the trade, listed him as a defenseman.
That's wonderful. Did you know that this is like such a non-fact. When the Rangers initially introduced him on an MSG show, it also said defenseman. So there you go. Maybe they just watched that show.
I think we've solved the riddle here.
We always seem to do that. We make the defensemen wingers and the wingers defensemen. So here we are, New York Ranger way. Barclay Goodrow signed with the New York, or is reportedly going to sign with the New York Rangers for 6 years, $3.6 million. The people of the good Twitterverse are already flipping crap. There is a lot to say about this contract, and there is a lot more work to be done for Chris Drury, who has a lot on his plate coming up this week. I think Thursday will be a big day. That is the day after the expansion draft and the day before the actual draft. And
day of the actual draft. Nope, day before. You're absolutely right.
Look at me go. And there will be a lot. I think there will be massive moves on Thursday, but let's break down the Goodrow contract and signing right away. So they trade the seventh rounder for Goodrow's rights to negotiate with him before anybody else. There are rumors out there, and I had at least heard that he was asking for $5 million times 5 years. The report is 3.6 times 6 years. 6 years seems like a ridiculous amount to be giving to Barclay Goodrow, who's 28 years old. The number is okay with me, but the 6 years is really the part that dumbfounds me. And I think our friend and frequent guest of this show, Drew Way, said it best. The contract is probably bad. It's probably going to be fun watching Barclay Goodrow, and he'll be really easy to root for. And it's probably movable down the line. And that's it.
Yeah, we always do this. I don't know. I think you and I, again, somehow, not that we bucked the trend, but it would have been so easy for just to join the pile on that seemed to be happening on Twitter throughout the day as the details emerged. But I do think people forget the amount of times I saw, like, worst contract ever, horrible contract, can't give this contract down, blah, blah, blah. We always forget that Chris Drury is operating within the National Hockey League, which means not only is this contract one that any other GM would have given out, I'm telling you right now that in 3 years, if Chris Drury wants to move this contract, he's not going to have a problem. It might be a dumb contract, but it's a super dumb league. So if you think that it's a bad contract for the Rangers, buddy, I got news for you. Someone's going to take it, and they're going to pay you an asset to do it, because that's the league in which we follow. It's a stupid league.
I totally agree. And we continually find that out over and over and over and over and over again.
Every day.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Carey Price thing in a couple minutes because I cannot wait to talk about that. But
oh, my God.
Yeah. The Goodrow thing signals to me even more that the next 3 years are the years that Drury is really trying to win a cup. Like, the window is officially open now, because Goodrow is that – you always talk about, and this is one of your staples, I think, in takes. Gaudreau's that player you add when it's, quote-unquote, the final piece. Like, hey, this might be a guy that's really going to help us in the playoffs. His analytics aren't nice. The value charts from him, from Shayna and Dom, are not nice to Gaudreau. But the eye test seems like he's a third-line winger/center that can do a lot. But he's not... That means, to me, that signals that Drury is so far from done this offseason. There's a lot more transactions to be done. And on top of that, they want to win a cup in the next 3 years. And there's no doubt about that to me anymore, officially.
Yeah.
How could you not?
You're right that one of my like tenets is Barclay Goodrow, that type of piece. It should be the last piece you add when you feel like you're ready to compete. And when we look back on this entire offseason, it'll start with Goodrow, but it obviously will not end with Goodrow. The Rangers have a lot to do and a lot cooking, and they're going to do a lot in the next literal week. But I've also said maybe one of my biggest principles is you never pay your depth. You just don't do it.
This might be a top three principle you've ever spewed on this podcast.
Yeah, because it's not just about the Rangers. It's more important in sports in which you have a salary cap. But it's also true in just every sport. You're not supposed to pay your role players. That's not how you build a team. The thing that makes a role player special is they are overachieving, and then you don't pay them when their time comes to be paid for their past accomplishments. It's the easiest principle to follow. I also understand it's one of the hardest principles to follow, because it is not easy to find the Barclay Goodrow type player when he's undervalued. That is super hard.
Right. Barclay Goodrow for less than $1 million is a tremendous asset. Absolutely. Yes. Just like
an asset in which you can justify trading a first round pick for.
Yeah, probably. If you're going,
I mean, it's what happened.
Yeah.
That's why I said it.
Yeah. There you go. I meant in the future. Maybe. Who knows? But that's not going to happen anymore because he makes $3.6 million. But the $3.6 million, this is a team, the Rangers, that are flush with cap space right now, but that's going to dry up very quickly. You are going to find out later this week, possibly, that they can't afford to keep certain players that you love dearly in Buchnevich.
There's a bit of a misnomer in the way you've worded that.
But the Barclay thing is not the reason why they cannot sign Buchnevich.
Right. They do the Barclay Goodrow trade and extension because they've already made their Buchnevich decision.
That's correct.
We're not extending him. Like, Barclay Goodrow, they didn't trade for Barclay Goodrow and then say, we're going to sign one of the two, and it's whoever says yes first, and Goodrow said yes first. That's not how it worked. The Rangers walked down the path with Buchnevich, realized they weren't going to come to terms on a long-term agreement, decided that the best course of action for them now is to shop Buchnevich, and they needed to then move forward with building out the rest of their forward depth, in which, in this instance, it was acquiring Barclay Goodrow. They did not make the Goodrow decision before the Buchnevich decision. They've made the Buchnevich decision. It is done. We don't know where he's going. We don't know what they're going to get in return, but you can take it to the bank that Pavel Buchnevich will not be a New York Ranger on opening night. It's just not
hard for me to see. Even if I think Buchnevich's camp is looking for somewhere between $5.5 million and $6.5 million, and even if they were to like go like 6-6, the Rangers can't afford it with Mika Zibanejad, Adam Fox, and a bunch of other players coming up. They literally can't make it work in the long run, especially if they're trying to trade for a second line center like Eichel or Bo Horvat or whatever it is, however the hell you say his fucking last name. In this case,
how you almost fucked up Bo there that time. Though,
didn't I do it the last time too? We have a segment.
No, I don't know how you fuck up that name. It's like seven letters total.
I know. We have a segment at the end of the podcast where our friend Drew gave me a bunch of names to read, so that'll be a fantastic time. Anywho, I don't see a way. When Chris Kreider signed his extension, that was kind of the death of extending Buchnevich, and I don't think they saw the leap that Buchnevich took this year coming again.
I don't know if it was the – again, I think it's the Kreider extension in conjunction with them winning – a lottery in which the clear number one talent was a winger. Like if just the Kreider extension happens and the Rangers don't win the lottery, I'm not convinced Pavel Buchnevich is not a Ranger long-term, because there's a clear long-term home for Buchnevich in the top six that also doesn't directly impact Chris Kreider. But then you add in the fact that ideally the Rangers top six is going to include Lafreniere, Kako, Panarin, and one other person. You know, push has to come to shove at some point.
Yeah, I know. It's where do you think Barclay Goodrow ends up playing, if you had to guess right now? Because I think he's got a really good chance of being this sort of next scapegoat for the Rangers. Like if he ends up playing on the fourth line at all, people are going to be like, we're paying $3.6 million for a fourth liner. You know how this is going to go, right?
Yeah, I gotta tell you, as things are right now, I think I'd be pretty surprised if he wasn't on the second line right wing to start the year.
Whew.
And I'd be even more shocked if he was anywhere below the third line.
Yeah, I could see that. You're thinking that Buchnevich is gone and Kako is on the first line?
Yeah, sure.
That's fair.
Let's go with that.
Okay.
No, from what we know about Gerard Gallant, from talking to George Richards, from talking to Jesse Granger, Barclay Goodrow is just going to check every Gallant box. So it's hard for me to believe that he's going to check every Gallant box and Gallant is going to be like, here's 8 minutes, even strength on the fourth line while also playing on my top penalty kill unit.
Mm.
Like he's playing in the middle six. I don't know if it's second line. I don't know if it's third line. And I got to tell you, towards the end of the season, he was getting second line ice time with Tampa Bay. So it'd be awfully hard for, I think, the Rangers to look at that and be like, do we have six forwards that are more useful in a current construction in which the chemistry is even on these lines that keeps Barclay Goodrow off of it? As I sit here right now, in my head, I am envisioning a second line that is Panarin, a center yet to be acquired, and Barclay Goodrow.
Man, I guess I could see that. Yeah, I could see it. I really could. Whew, it's going to be an interesting offseason. We have a lot to go here. And Thursday is probably the start of it all. Goodrow, we're going to talk to our friend Matthew Esteves in a couple. He'll give us the whole breakdown from it. Two things I want to say. A terrible, awful contract that hinders you from doing anything is something like Matthew Duchene, who signed for, what was it, $8 million, 8 years? That is actually a miserable contract. Like, almost the second it was signed. No one made them sign it. They did. Nashville.
Yeah, and again, it's worth pointing out, it's not even 6 years is too much. We all agree.
Yeah.
This is why we all laughed at Matt Martin getting 5 years from the New York Islanders. It's just too many years to give that caliber of player. Anything over three, you've just galaxy brained it way too much. And that's fine and that's good and that's fair, and none of us are disagreeing. I would say it's going to be a lot easier to move this contract in the final 3 years of that deal than people give it credit for. And I'll also say that again. I think people's problem with the Goodrow contract is simply because the Kreider contract exists.
That like might be true.
Without the Kreider contract, yes, we're still complaining about the 6 years, but I don't think people give a shit about $3.6 million.
If this contract was 3.7 or 3.6, whatever, times three, I don't think anybody – there'd be some complaining, but it would not be the same.
Yeah, we'd all say it's a little rich, but if you're going to give that contract now, at least you're limiting the term. Yeah, right?
I know. And then also
it really comes down to the 6 years.
I don't know if you saw, but Carpinello today was saying the Rangers are going to target Coleman too. I was kind of surprised by that. I was like, with what money?
Well, we're just going to – it's hard for me to mentally picture what other players the Rangers could be targeting in free agency because
– without knowing the trades.
The Rangers have added another forward without getting rid of a forward.
And they already had problems fitting everybody before.
Right. We know Buchnevich is leaving. We have a pretty strong feeling that Strome is leaving. And I think at least one other forward currently projected to be in the Rangers' top nine, probably also leaving. His name is definitely not Chris Kreider. So it's – maybe the Rangers can target Blake Coleman. They could possibly have an opening, especially if one of these trades are, say, three guys for the price of one. The way I sit here right now, Ryan – it's hard for me to envision other forwards the Rangers could be targeting because they need to get rid of some forwards in order to target more forwards.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Let's talk a little bit about the expansion draft. Rooney was protected. I think this was just a style of play kind of deal, and Blackwell was exposed along with Gauthier, Keith Kincaid, etc. I think the pick for the Seattle Kraken will be either Blackwell or Gauthier. I lean Gauthier because of the Francis connection. I think Blackwell will probably end up being back on the Rangers, which is fun because people like Blackwell a lot. And Gauthier was benched over and over again. Blackwell is probably the better pick for like a win now scenario, but the upside is definitely Gauthier because he's a brick shithouse, as you would call him. And in this case, I don't really mind the Rooney protection. It's fine. He'll be the fourth line center and he will, you know, PK and be fine. I just think he fits. They probably ask a lot, and they probably asked him which player fits your system more. He said Rooney, and that was probably it. I don't think there was more of a. I'm sure as we keep learning about Chris Drury, he likes to turn over every stone, and I'm sure he did that. But that's my simplistic way of breaking it down.
Well, I would also go as far to say again, while you and I might not think Brett Howden is useful on the penalty kill, I don't think either of us had a positive opinion about him, again, besides the fact that he can make pants just disappear.
For sure.
I do think the Rangers took a look, trading Howden for a draft pick, and said, well, we don't want to lose two PKers in a span of 2 days, even by adding Goodrow, who will 100% play on one of the two Rangers penalty kill units. But again, I think they view Goodrow as the eventual Buchnevich penalty kill replacement. Whereas if they had to look at losing Rooney and Howden on the penalty kill, they would rather not. And Rooney plays penalty kill while Blackwell does not. So I think when you think of total team construction, Kevin Rooney slightly more valuable than whatever Clown Blackwell could do as a sophomore season to his unexpected freshman year success. So I don't know. But we're also splitting hairs. Like, if you told me this time last summer that we'd be saying the Rangers are either going to keep Kevin Rooney or Colin Blackwell, I'd be like, then why are we even talking about it? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, who cares? When Blackwell and Kevin Rooney were signed, the reaction online was, who?
No, it wasn't who. It was just like, hey, look, something to dangle in front of Seattle in a year. That's fun.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah, they were expansion-eligible signees.
Yeah.
And both of them played very well last year. Good for them. Happy for them. Glad at least Rooney is staying. I honestly expect Blackwell to also stay. I'm going to miss Julian Gauthier. But if you're going to expose a player that Ron Francis, the general manager of the Seattle Kraken, drafted in the first round, odds are you're going to lose him.
Yeah, I would say so. They probably still have some faith there in Gauthier. It was surprising to me that, and I know Vince reported that they were looking for these kind of deals, but that we ended up protecting Hayek the Kayak with one of our left-handed defenseman spots.
It does seem like a waste, doesn't it?
It does. That was a big to Chris Drury, where I was like, you couldn't find one little trade to get one of these defenseman that they're going to lose in the expansion draft. It was very shocking. And then, I don't know, unless there's still some sort of deal together with Seattle to make something work. And there could be like a three-team deal. Who knows? Seems like Seattle's going to be working a couple of those with Tarasenko and the Flyers and such like that. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, boy, St. Louis leaving Vince Dunn exposed sure does leave a nice little tasty meat on that bone, too.
It does, yeah. And it feels like that should have been – Vince Dunn has been linked to the Rangers for, what, 3 years now? So
feels like it, right?
Yeah, it does feel like a long time. So I thought that would be a particular interesting player to acquire for, you know, a draft pick or so they don't have to lose him for nothing. But it seems like they will get taken from the Kraken. The Kraken draft is going to be quite interesting. I know we kind of teased this a little bit, but the Carey Price, the best Canadian goaltender of all time, I don't know if you've heard of him, will be exposed. And it seems like that now he's incredibly injured and might miss the whole season suddenly, despite playing in the Stanley Cup Finals like 2 weeks ago. Where do you stand on this?
Well, the Canadians did this twice, right? They're like, we're going to leave Shea Weber exposed, dot, dot, dot. By the way, we might have to amputate his foot.
He might retire.
And it's like, yeah. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. And then they're like, oh, by the way, we're also going to leave Carey Price exposed, dot, dot, dot. But he also doesn't have a groin in one of his knees.
And his hips are bad. Hips are bad. That's really bad for goaltending, so don't take it.
Yeah, and it's just like, huh, how interesting. All I know, Ryan, and all you know is, we have been told day in and day out about how fucking great Carey Price is.
Legendary. Now, just had a Stanley Cup run. Did you see it? It was awesome.
If every NHL player could choose one goalie to play for them in a Game 7 of a playoff series with everything on the line, who do they always choose? Carey Price. So now if you tell me that Seattle gets the opportunity to take the greatest goaltender since ice was formed back in the fucking Jurassic ages or whenever, you're not going to take Carey Price? You're not going to do it? Come on.
It's what? It would be criminal to not do it.
Just for the memes. Just do it for the memes.
They got permission from the owners. I don't see a way they actually do it. To be honest, I think they'll think.
How do you not see how they? I don't see a way they don't do it.
Well, I guess the money is too much, but they're Seattle. They're gonna have. What, aren't they like a cap?
Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan, I need you to sit down for a second.
I'm sitting.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you hear what the Tampa Bay Lightning did last year with money and salary cap?
Okay. Yeah, I've heard about this.
So you're telling me, yeah. A goalie who needs two major surgeries, who makes $10.5 million a year, who might not be able to play for a couple years. You're telling me, Ryan, that a team flush with cap space who could possibly also use all of that cap space wouldn't put said player on a long-term injury reserved that would allow that cap hit to just not exist for a couple years.
It's very interesting.
Interesting. Interesting.
I just don't understand how you would explain to your fan base, like, yeah, we did pass up on the goalie that was just in the finals. Yeah, the contract's a little rich, but, you know, he's the best goalie in the league all the time. So, I don't know. Like what?
But I'll also say this. A lot of people have made this point, and it's a fair fucking point. If you're Montreal and you're telling me it's more important to protect Jake Allen in the upcoming draft because your number one goalie is injured and was injured, by the way, during said Stanley Cup final. And then you give Jake Allen a start in said Stanley Cup final? You're in the final. Your goalie's hurt. The first two games, he sucked too.
You're
still going to keep playing Carey Price?
Yeah, that's bad. That's really bad.
you can't sit here and say Jake Allen's too important to expose because Carey Price is hurt. If he's too important to expose because Carey Price is hurt, what the fuck happened in the Stanley Cup final?
My dude, if this was us and it was Henrik Lundqvist and Igor Shesterkin, let's say it was us, and Hank was hurt and we found out afterwards, we'd be flipping shit, right?
But I don't even think it has to be Igor Shesterkin. Imagine Cam Talbot at his peak Ranger backup.
Sure. That's a good one.
The Rangers make the Stanley Cup final. And Hank, the first two games of the final, seems off. And we're all like, that's interesting. That doesn't look like Hank. And then after the season, there's an expansion draft. And the Rangers leave Hank exposed because he requires major knee surgery and major hip surgery. And the rationale is, well, we can't risk losing Talbot. He's too important. All of us would be like, then why didn't Talbot play in the final? Are you kidding me? Like, the whole point of Holy having shit. This thing, like the Canadians' entire point is, right. Well, if we want to win, we need Jake Allen because Carey Price is hurt. You could have won All you had to do was start Jake Allen.
He was healthy.
Oh, my God.
He was ready to roll. Oh,
oh my God. It's incredible. Why isn't that, like, dude, where's Stephen A. when you need him? Like, imagine, like, fucking Anthony Davis is hurt, and they have fucking Brandon Ingram on the bench. Again, a hypothetical situation here. And Ingram's playing well, but not getting starters minutes, and then the Lakers losing five. And it's because Davis played 41 minutes a night, unable to walk. Stephen A. would be like, you have got to be just the dumbest fucking organization I've ever fucking seen in my life.
It's unbelievable. Well, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've swindled the Rangers again. they've tricked us into overpaying.
That seventh round pick, 100%, is going to somehow morph into three Yanni Gourdes.
I know.
Not even just one Yanni Gourdes.
I was thinking the same thing. I read a comment like, well, seventh round picks like never work out. I was like, except this one. This is the only one that's ever going to work out.
Yeah, it just it reminds me of like the first round pick the Rangers traded for Martin St. Louis. The Lightning technically traded to the Islanders, and it became Anthony Beauvillier. So it somehow hurt twice.
Right.
You know? It's like the Rangers traded the pick to the Lightning, who were like, oh, this pick's going to be good. But we're so good that we don't even want to fucking use it. Islanders, you can have this one. Torment them for 9 years. And they're like, that sounds great. Anthony Beauvillier, how does that sound? And Lightning are like, that sounds fantastic. And Ranger fans are like, we would like to fuck ourselves with a fucking steel pole. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
We can say that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No post-it notes.
Patreon, baby. Let's fucking go.
In my head, as the words were formulating in my brain.
I know. I saw the notes.
I was like, man.
Yep. Well, you just have to cut that out. Very interesting.
No notes.
Before anybody yells at me, I do know that Henrik Lundqvist was a seventh round pick. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, let's get to our dear friend and guest, Matthew Estevez. We'll talk about Gaudreau extensively and Tampa Bay Lightning, maybe Blake Coleman and some other stuff, how the cheating worked and all that. And then we'll come back, do some five-star questions from Patreon, and end the show. So, love you guys. Transition. Hey, we're back with our first and only and recurring guest, Matthew Estevez. Matthew, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, boys. How about you?
Forgot to introduce you. You're from Raw Charge. You covered Tampa Bay Lightning. That was important. Should have done that. Thanks for joining us again. You've been here many years in a row because for some reason the Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning have a lot of different transactions and trades, and we borrow each other's players after they're done. And today we signed Barclay Goodrow, and you guys just won a cup with him. So we kind of wanted to get the scouting report and bring you on.
Of course. Good old Barclay.
Heard he blocked shots. You know, who would block Shea Weber's shot like that? Only Warriors, right?
I mean, that's what John Cooper says.
I know.
John Cooper knows a hell of a lot more than I do.
That's a fact. Me too. Not just you. Me also, and all of us combined. So where do we even start with Barclay? The contract, as you probably likely saw, is $3.6 million over 6 years. He was making under $1 million in Tampa. Tell us at least what defines his game.
I'll simplify it for you, Ryan.
Appreciate it.
Are you... Is the problem with the deal the years or the money, Matt? Because I know years. There's a problem with the deal from your perspective. Which one
years.
Is it?
Years.
It's the years, right?
Honestly, like the actual like average annual value of it actually isn't that bad, honestly. With more ice time, Gaudreau is probably going to produce enough to like justify that price tag. And his defense is phenomenal. It's just... I don't understand why they gave him 6 years. That's just, you don't give guys like that 6 years. The AAV, sure. You can live with that. Especially given the contract situation that New York's in at the moment. Because a lot of their good players aren't necessarily on gigantic ones just yet. The young ones. But yeah, it's the years. I mean, he's 28 going on 29. By the time this thing ends, he'll be 34. So, and you're looking at him to basically be the same player that he is right now for at least 2 or 3 years. So that's half of the contract. And then after that, you're hoping you can move him. To me, it's the term. It's just the term. If it's for 4 years, no one really blinks at this. I don't think anyone really blinks. I'm sure some of the analytics folks would probably be like, oh, you can't give him that much money, but like 3.6 isn't like, I don't think per year where that's terrible. It's just you gave him that crap till he's 34.
Yeah, no, and it was a long time.
And with Gaudreau specifically, he's always been, or at least recently has been, one of the guys that isn't going to pop on the analytical charts because he's a low event player, but that's also part of what makes him valuable, is it not? Because everything he does well aren't necessarily the things that usually get people paid for doing.
I mean, analytically, he profiles as one of the best defensive forwards in the league. Like, that's without a doubt. The thing about him is that goals die when he's on the ice both ways. But if you put Coleman with two good players in general, like he was with Yanni Gourde, Blake Coleman, you get to see a little more out of him. If you're relying on Barclay Goodrow to be your play driver on a line, you're asking for way too much for what he is. If you put him on a line and he's a complement to something, and he enables a line to kind of do their thing, and he's just the guy who shuts stuff down, you're going to reap the rewards of that. You just need to find guys that kind of fit that. You need to find your own version of Yanni Gourde and Blake Coleman. Whether that'll work or not, I have no idea. But I'm not super versed in how the Rangers forward lines are. I know they got talent out the butt.
They might change even if you were versed. Seems like a lot of things are going to be shifting in the next couple weeks here.
Yeah.
I was about to say, one of the players that might be playing with Barclay Goodrow just sound like it's going to be Blake Coleman. So I'll just say it. Like, all the and listen, Yanni Gourde's available via the expansion draft. Maybe the Rangers just won all three.
Jesus.
It's worth a shot. I mean, if you guys do sign Blake, it'd be good. Blake's going to cost probably 4.5 to 5, in my opinion. Especially if Barclay gets 3.6. Yeah, Blake should get a lot more. A lot more. Because Blake Coleman is good everywhere. The dude's good everywhere. Power play, good. Panicle, good. Forecheck, good. Backcheck, good. The dude's just good. Like, ugh. Like, just put it this way. If it was Blake Coleman who got 3.6 for 6 years, people would be drooling over that contract. Let's just put it that way.
I was a little surprised it wasn't Blake Coleman. The Rangers have been linked to both all the last, like, 4 months. I felt like this deal was done with Goodrow before the Tampa Bay Lightning even won the Cup. There's been a lot of hints. There's been a lot of name-dropping, especially of him, for the last couple weeks. What can Ranger fans, like, come to expect? Like, the offense is really that bad? It's non-existent, is what you're saying? Because the Rangers have a lot of scorers. Like,
He's not non-existent when it comes to scoring. He's just like Greg said, he's low event. He's low event on both sides of the ice, which hurts you on the offensive end. But again, if you put him with players that can elevate his offensive side, that at the same time doesn't hinder his defensive usage, mm-hmm. then Goodrow's going to be, you know, he'll be fine for two, three. Pray to God he doesn't get hurt. 2-3 years, and then, you know, he plays that style of game. You know, once he gets past 30 or 31, and you really start worrying about how his body's going to take all that beating. Because, I mean, Goodrow will play those hard minutes for you. There's a reason why he was out there for both cups in the last minute. There's a reason why. Aside from that, though, you have to look at a lot of that 3.6 in the sense of defense and leadership. Goodrow wasn't, I wouldn't call Goodrow like a central figure of leadership in Tampa's locker room, but he most definitely had words, and he most definitely had a certain level of weight in that locker room, especially after he won the first cup. So you can definitely expect that to come. Aside from that, it's just, if you're expecting him to score like 10 to 15 to 20 goals, you're out the lunch. That's just not who he is. If you're expecting him to chip in maybe 5 tops, 10 goals, maybe 15 to 20 points a season, and be basically your best penalty killer and like your all defensive situations winger who's going to make life a living hell for opponents, that's how you should look at him. You can't look at him as like a scoring third liner. That's just not who Barclay is. If he does, fantastic. Just know it's probably going to be unsustainable if he goes on a hot streak. But again, it just depends who he goes with, because when he was with us, he was a 20-point player. You put him with two good players, you know, you can make it worthwhile.
That's essentially my next question. How big of a miscarriage of justice would it be if Barclay Goodrow opened the season on a line with Artemi Panarin and a center to be named later who might be named Jack, per se?
That'll be interesting, to say the least. I would sit there and ask why. Why is Barclay Goodrow on your top line? But if it works, it works. I mean, everyone was saying that he was like our third liner. Well, not third liner. He was part of that big third line. But that third line paid quote unquote third line. They played second line minutes. They played more than Cirelli's line because the Cirelli line struggled at times on both cup runs. And when they struggled, the Gord line was right there to say, don't worry about it. We'll take your ice time and just, you know, not give a rat's ass who we play. That was driven more by Gordon Coleman. Goodrow was by no means a full-blown passenger. So if you put him up there with Panarin and, you know, some guy named Jack at some point.
Random.
It might just work. Who knows? I don't know. It might just work. Who knows? Like, there's always those weird lines that, like, you look at, you're like, really? That's the line that works? I mean, if it works, it works. That's,
like, really, you mean like that. Vegas running out number one center Chandler Stephenson, just as we all predicted?
You mean like number one winger Leo Komarov? Just like that?
You know, I was talking with an Islanders guy about that, and he's like, dude, Komarov is just there for one thing and one thing only, defense. Everything else, it's just, okay, ignore it, just please play defense. And I was like, I get that. It just feels like a waste of Barzal and Eberle's talents.
It is. I think they'll, as you probably have heard, the Islanders are going to try and make some big splashes this offseason too, after they clear some cap space, as is tradition.
Space, you say, Ryan?
Where does the Kucherov press conference rank among the moments of your life?
Greatest.
Yeah, I figured. I would.
Greatest. That I watched that at least once a week, every week. It's phenomenal.
I can, if that was any player on the Rangers after we won a cup, I would probably get that whole video tattooed on me. It was, like,
anyone who gets upset with that, I just feel is just being soft as hell. It's just like, dude, he's like, this dude's literally the crustiest. He's the crustiest motherfucker on the planet.
He's weird. Yeah, definitely. I love.
And then both cup championships, he just lets loose. We're like, oh my god, he has a personality. Now, albeit we know he has a personality, like us media folks, we know he has a personality. He just doesn't show it. And him showing it like that is such a breath of fresh air. It's like, just enjoy it. Like, my god, just stop being jackasses and just enjoy it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I have to be honest. Despite this podcast calling out the cheating by the Tampa Bay Lightning, which they absolutely did for many, many years. I did love the $18 million over the cap shirt. It was a phenomenal move.
I prefer the number one bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might have the most underrated goalie in the league down there by a good amount at this point.
In the non-Carey Price category, of course.
Yeah, Carey Price goes one. Sorry, Matthew.
World of his own.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
No, he's still underrated. I swear. Like, he's not the... When the Rangers were making those cup runs, the star was Henrik Lundqvist, and there's just too many other stars on the Lightning where he doesn't get the spotlight.
I guess that's fair, but I don't know, it's hard for me to like say that he's still underrated because he was the backbone of both of those cup runs. Like, he was phenomenal.
He doesn't get the credit he deserves. Kucherov goes fucking nuts, as you know.
I mean, he got the Conn Smythe, so he got the credit he deserved this go around. I know a lot of people are making a fuss about the Vezina this season. And I was like, you know, if Fleury wins it, it makes sense. If Essie wins it, it makes sense. So I was just like, it's a toss up. But then again, I also think the Vezina shouldn't be voted on by GMs.
That's probably a good idea. Probably smart. Although, well, Carey Price should win every year if the GMs had it themselves. Anywho, what is the deal for the Tampa Bay Lightning come the expansion draft? Who do you expect to lose? And, is there probably the center of Blake Coleman and Goodrow?
It honestly depends what Seattle's looking for. I actually just put out my little fantasy draft of it on Raw Charge, what I thought Seattle should go for. I figured it'd be Gord since McDonough was protected. Biggest issue for Tampa was figuring out like who to protect, because it was like, do you protect McDonough to keep their quote unquote top four D set? Do you not protect McDonough, expose his big salary, and have his recent play and leadership abilities really entice Seattle? And then you can keep majority of your forward core together. It was interesting to see what they were going to do there. They ended up going 4-4-1, which then exposes Gord, Palat, Killorn, Johnson, and some of the younger players like Joseph and Colton. So we'll see what Seattle does. I think they'll take Gord. He's arguably the best forward available outside of Vladimir Tarasenko, and Tarasenko comes with a massive, massive warning sign of be careful with him, just due to the injury. And even if he is healed, he might not be the same player. So if we take that away, he's arguably the best forward available, and he's a center, and he can play anywhere. Is he a top line center? Probably not. Is he a really, really freaking good second line center? Absolutely. But I don't think, you know, if Seattle's going to go in there thinking they're going to have a premier top line, that's not going to happen. They'll have a good top line, but it won't be like anything like what other teams can boast. But yeah, Gord, I think, is the likely target. But who knows? They might flip a switch and pick Colton or Joseph to go younger. I have no idea. Seattle's kept everything close to their chest, and the insiders have just been basically, you know, we have no idea.
So we've mentioned, and we'll continue to mention, how the Tampa Bay Lightning cheated last year. But in order for them to stop cheating, they need to cut more salary. So I would expect, me personally, as an outsider who, again, is just reflecting on how blatantly you guys have been about it, I'm assuming Johnson isn't coming back, and I'm assuming one of, if not both, of Palat and Killorn are also not coming back on top of Gord. Do you disagree? Do you see a way in which they keep more than two of those guys, or even one of those guys?
Yeah. What it really comes down to is who they move after the expansion draft. They have to move at least one more forward after the expansion draft. So let's just say, for theoretical sense, they take Gord. All right. They take Gord. That's 5.1 off the cap. And we got to move one more to make enough space to make it comfortable to try and find probably a depth defenseman, backup goaltender, and then we got to sign Joseph and Colton and Foote to RFA contracts. The only one who's probably going to cost a decent bit of that might be Colton. I think Colton's projected to make almost $2 million, I think. So that's going to move one more forward. It's been tossed around in our Slack that we target Nashville's Cali Yarncroc with Andre Palat and kind of see if Nashville will do a one-for-one. If we do that, then our cap issues are basically solved, and we can sign all our RFAs and get a depth defenseman and possibly a depth forward if we don't just rely on call-ups and a backup goaltender. So it's one more forward. Definitely has to go to make the money work. Will they move another one? They might. Who knows? JVP is one of those general managers who doesn't really let anything fall to the wayside. He checks everything, and he sees what he can do. Johnson, I don't know. We tried to move him last offseason. No one would take him. I wouldn't say he bounced back, but he had a solid season and a really good postseason. So maybe that makes people like him. I have no idea. It's hard to gauge, because I figured someone would have taken a flyer out on him last offseason, and no one bid, even when he was on waivers. We tried to give him away for free, and no one would take it. So that should tell you something about how the GMs felt about the player at the time, and also how terrified they were of the cap due to the flat cap situation. So definitely one. My idea is to trade Palat for someone like Cali Yarncroc, and go from there. What I'll do, I have no freaking idea, because this front office likes to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah, it seems to be a new tradition. The Rangers are starting to do that right now too, where they keep their mouth shut all the time about everything. Is there any fun like Goodrow story that we should know? Is there any like legendary moment when he's on the Lightning?
Legendary moment. I mean, he was on the ice for both cup winning situations. I mean, yeah, those I mean, are pretty
sounds,
freaking legendary.
That sounds pretty
themselves.
Nice. I'd like to get one of those, Matt. Appreciate it. I meant more like a personality thing.
Personality? Goodrow's awesome. Goody's a good dude. you're gonna love him. Like, is he overpaid? Maybe. Is he signed for way too long? Absolutely. But you're gonna love Barclay Goodrow.
I kind of feel that way. Like, I feel like I've only been reacting to the contract all day, but there's gonna become a time where every one of the Ranger fans that are following a game on one night are like, wow, I actually love this guy. He's probably awesome to root for. He seems like a great follow, at least as someone who's covering a team. But I've only talked about his contract for the last 12 hours, and that's all I can ever.
Because that's all there is to talk about right now is his contract.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking you. That's it.
His play on the ice. I mean, you're gonna love him on the ice, man. He's gonna make opposing teams hate life when he's on the ice.
I'm really
that's
interested to see
how he is.
He plays with Gallant, because Gallant is all about this forechecking system.
Dude, he's perfect for that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly one of the reasons they signed him, is because they want that Gallant system guy. It's the same reason they protected Kevin Rooney. It's like, hey, we want a system guy. He's going to forecheck and play.
If you're going to have a head coach who's much more inclined to have a forecheck-heavy system, Barclay Goodrow fits that extremely well. Is it going to lead to a lot of points from him? That remains to be seen. His history shows that he's not really much of an offensive player, but he forechecks like a maniac. And that was evident through the 2 years that he was with us on that Gord line. So if you're gonna have Gallant's system of just sheer forechecking and just creating havoc, Barker Goudreau is going to be a perfect fit for that.
Talking more generally, Matt, about deals we expect to happen in the next 4 days of absolute madness here, what to you do you think is the biggest domino that is going to fall? Do you actually believe Jack Eichel gets traded before NHL draft day on Friday?
I want to say yes, but man, I feel like us as NHL Buffalo fans, we've been teased with so many like blockbuster things that, and then they don't materialize. We're just sitting here going, ugh, you know? So part of me is just like jaded, like, oh yeah, okay, well, I'll wait till I see it, you know? Like, what was the last big blockbuster that actually happened in the offseason? Like, do we have to go all the way back to Hall for Larson or Subban for Weber? Well,
I'm trying to think. I mean, a lot of people were surprised when Kessel finally got traded again.
I know, but I wouldn't consider that as a
blockbuster.
You know, the magnitude of like if Eichel gets traded, that's the biggest trade like we've seen in a long time. Like a player like Eichel does not get traded. And so if Eichel goes, wherever he goes, it's going to be probably one of the biggest trades of the next, I don't know, 5-10 years, maybe going back 15 years. I'm really trying to think, like, what player of Eichel's caliber has ever been traded in the salary cap era? Like, a legit top 10, top 5 center in the entire NHL traded in his prime.
Not in the last 5 years.
Yeah, the last 5-10 years, I don't. Like, what the closest one I think is Hall for Larson. That's the closest I can think of right now.
I'm sure we're missing one, and I'm going to hear shit for it. So that'll be fun.
We probably are. Like, people are supposed to be, like, encyclopedias of this shit, and it's ridiculous.
It's true. It's true. I think that's all I got, Gregory. What about you?
But if it's not Eichel, then who do you think's the domino? Do you think something Seattle's going to do something Tarasenko-related where they're packaging him off to somebody else?
The Flyers.
Do you think it's...
Well, a report just came out on Tarasenko that said if Seattle takes him, he's most definitely not staying in Seattle. Right. So if it's not Eichel, I think Tarasenko is the prime target, but it depends if Seattle takes him because Seattle has a few options in St. Louis. You know, there's Vince Dunn there if they want to take him instead of Tarasenko. So it's interesting. I do think it's Eichel and Tarasenko are the big ones. And who knows, maybe Tarasenko even gets traded regularly before the expansion draft. He can't. But maybe, you know, Tarasenko doesn't get picked, and he gets traded anyway. Like, someone finally, you know.
He's going to trade no matter what, too. I'm with you on that. I think him and Eichel are both getting traded this week. That's where I'm going to land.
I hope so, because, God, do we need some entertainment.
I'll eat shit on that one, that's for sure. But I think Thursday's the big day.
Have we all forgotten the possibility here? Just for a second. Hear me out. Montreal exposes Carey Price. Seattle takes Carey Price and then trades him with salary retained to Toronto.
Whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
You know, that was in the back of my head, but to me it was too much wishful thinking.
Oh, no. I am in. I think it could happen. I don't know how we're going to make the money work, but we're going to make the money work. We're like, they agree to take whoever the cheapest person available is from Toronto and then use Kerfoot as the trade piece that's going back to Seattle instead of drafting them. No, no, no. I can work my way through this one. Just give me a couple minutes here with a pen and paper. I want Carey Price in Toronto is essentially what I'm saying.
That would be hilarious. God, can you imagine that game of chicken that Ron Francis and Mark Bergeron are probably having here with Carey Price?
I just think, like, I ruined Ryan's day. Like, I really do, like, think I ruined
you did.
Can you just imagine Ron sitting there texting Mark Bridger and be like, so, you left Carey unprotected, huh? He's like, you won't take him. It's too big of a contract. I don't think you're ballsy enough to wait and find out.
Yeah.
Bergevin is telling Francis right now that Carey Price had both his legs amputated. So
shortly after those lists came out, a report came out that Price was going to have knee surgery. I was like, huh, I wonder who planted that.
Very strange. Very strange. Gregor, anything else for our friend Matthew?
Oh, no. No, now that I've ruined your night, Ryan, I think that was the best
thing. Definitely hate you for that one. Well, Matthew, I can't thank you enough for coming on, quickly talking to us about Coleman and Goudreau. And congratulations on your back-to-back cup wins. I hope you cherish them the rest of your life. You might get a third next year, to be honest with you, sicko. And
how are you going to circumvent the cap next year? Who needs surgery that doesn't need surgery?
Let's go with
Hedman. I heard Hedman's a little
Hedman's a little beat up.
You could wait until December to get that fucking knee fixed or whatever.
Yeah, maybe Hedman. You know, let's just make it. Let's put it on like legendary difficulty. Let's put Vasilevskiy on LTI.
Wow, legendary difficulty. Congrats.
Well, so now Gary Price is going to fucking Tampa Bay and using Vasilevskiy as the fucking LTIR to make it work.
No, they'll get Keith from us, and Keith will be like the best goalie in the league all year. It'll be unbelievable. Great for our client. All right, Matt, thanks so much for coming on. Anything you want to plug before you get going?
Nah, boys. All right. It's been great to be here again.
Always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk soon.
See ya.
Bye. Hey, we're back. We're gonna do some 5-star questions right now from our dear lovely listeners, and we'll go over there. This is from Swigart. Just listen to the pod. Great job as always. Is there a Booch for Matthew Tkachuk trade worth considering?
I mean, for the Rangers, yes. You'd have to explain to me why the Flames would want to.
He says throw in Alberta native Matthew Robertson, and which team says no? The Flames.
Still the Flames. Yeah, I mean, listen. Booch is very good. It's going to be very hard for the Rangers to trade Booch for a player that will make them better than they currently are with Buchnevich in the starting lineup. I don't necessarily think that trade is going to be available for the Rangers. I do think the Rangers could possibly use some of the assets in return for Booch to go get a bigger fish, but I don't think there's any way to cut it besides saying that the amount of trades the Rangers could make in which they get better by moving Buchnevich in the trade are few and far between. But the problem the Rangers are facing is Pavel Buchnevich is not under contract. And while he's under team control for another year, all Buchnevich has to do is play that 1 year out and he gets to decide where he wants to go. So that does limit some of their bargaining power in these trades.
Brian for Rangers says, does the protection for Georgiev mean that they still think they can get a good deal for him? I don't think that's what it means. But
yep, nope. It just means that they weren't going to acquire another goalie to meet exposure requirements. So you might as well expose Georgiev. Seattle's not taking him. And then figure out the trade.
Yep, I still think they will trade Georgiev this offseason.
Yeah, but also, again, guys, remember, we're dealing with the NHL, right? So while it's a reputation league, Carey Price is available. Jonathan Quick is available. We know Seattle has already signed Driedger or whatever his name is from Florida. They got a lot of goalies available that are better than Alexander Georgiev. They are not going to take Georgiev from the Rangers. And if they do, oh well. I don't think the Rangers are going to be crying over $2.5 million in spilled cap space.
I don't think so either. This is from David. If Strome Plus is traded to Ottawa, what player / prospect do you think the Rangers target? Which player / prospect do you want them to target? I talked to a couple of different people about this, and I think one of the players that will be discussed, on at least by the Rangers, will be Colin White. He's a center with like some good underlying analytics. The charts are blue, everybody. So now that's how you know he's good. And I don't think Strome ends up on the team this next season, mostly because I don't think Drury's clearly going for the next couple of years, and they're not going to want to try and trade Strome at the deadline for assets if they're actually making a push for the playoffs.
No, and the Rangers have made it clear that they want to add another something they consider a marquee center. I think that is the clear goal. And they've also made it very clear that Goodrow can play center. So the Rangers, I think internally at least, feel like they have a top center in Mika and a third line center in Barclay Goodrow, and they just protected Kevin Rooney. So they might feel like at worst they are 3/4 of the way there. I think it's very clear they want to upgrade over Strome. I don't know necessarily if Strome will be used to acquire that upgrade, but if they upgrade over Strome, they are trading Ryan Strome.
Couldn't agree more. That'll definitely be in the plans. This is from McBearcat. Who's is picking at 15 of this draft? If not us, who? My guess is still Buffalo.
Yep. It's going to be Buffalo until it's not Buffalo. But I am still 100% convinced that the Rangers are not using that draft pick on their own.
I wish we could bet that. Can we actually bet it?
Again, our good friend Jeff, he's coming up this weekend. He'll be here to watch the draft with me and then go to the track on Saturday. And he's like, will you give me odds for this thing you keep saying, which is the Rangers won't be making that pick. And I gave him 5-1 that he wants to bet the Rangers make the pick.
Really?
So I gave him +500.
Tell Jeff to text me.
Bro, you want money as well?
Yeah, I would love money. He doesn't think they're making the pick?
No. He thinks they are making the pick.
I know. That's crazy. I misspoke. I'm sorry. That's very Ryan with me. That's crazy that he thinks that. I think there's than 1% chance they make that pick.
Yeah, so he's got $20 on the Rangers make the pick. If they make that pick, I owe him 100. If they don't, he owes me 20.
Okay, that's fair. This is from I know Eric said he wants to answer his baseball question, I believe. What are your thoughts on the ridiculous ideas to speed up extra innings but not start with a man on second? Instead of starting with a runner on second, what if the defense could only have 8 players in the field until the batting team gets a man on base? I think that's silly as hell, Eric. they can erase the field to try whatever they want. This is for extra innings if it wasn't clear. Also, walking a batter does not unlock your ninth fielder. I would like to watch regular baseball.
I got to be honest. I don't have a problem with the extra inning rule. But if it's not going to be that rule, I don't want it to exist.
I'm actually even more stingy than you, and I would like to go back to the old way. I'd like to.
But it's going back to the old way, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yep, I'm happy with that. And then this is a segment that Drew's been waiting for a long time. He says, hey, yo, thanks for taking my call. Long time, first time. Ryan, how do you pronounce the following names of the 2021 NHL draft eligible prospects that noted draft guru Drew Way has top 2 rounds of talent? I will now name them, Gregory. There's a couple on here. I don't get
Now, the problem is Drew should have sent me how they're actually pronounced. That way I could fact check you.
That's true. That's a mistake on Drew's part. It's Mackie.
That is a mistake on Drew's
Mackie part. Semo, Kev.
Oh, I mean, there's no chance. I'm not.
Vile, 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 Kovunin. I got that last name for sure. Stanislav Sobolzil? Sobolzil. Sobolzil. Aiden Hirschkel. I think I'm going blind. Prokov. Or no, Prokhor? Poltapov? Man, this is brutal. Oleski Hemi Salami? Sean, I believe, is his first name. And then Tish Igirl? And Artem Gershnikov? Artyom? Yes, good. All right, I think I nailed it, Greg. Boy, I can't read, dude. It's really hard.
Can't read, can't speak either.
Can't do either. Any other topics we didn't touch on today?
Don't ever do that again.
Okay, sorry.
I'm gonna go with no.
Okay.
I think we did great.
We will record a BSB OT Wednesday night. We'll be previewing the draft itself. We'll talk about some other things, I'm sure. And then if there's anything happens on Thursday, we'll do an emergency late night podcast. So you guys make sure you check out the Patreon for that. I don't hate the Goodrow contract. I do think it's bad. I don't hate it. I'm not freaking out, everybody. If you're out there freaking out, I think the Rangers can handle it whenever they want. I think they could ship it off. I know all the people said, if you already are thinking about moving it, it's a bad contract. I agree. It's not optimal. But I am going to love rooting for Barclay Goodrow. It's going to be a fun time. And I expect a lot of changes to be happening over the next some odd days for the Rangers. I wonder if the rumors even start as soon as tomorrow.
I think the review of the Barclay Goodrow can be summarized as simply and shortly as this. We all agree it's too many years. What we disagree on is the last 3 years of those years being easy to move.
Yep.
And I think they're going to be a little easier to move than most people give the credit for. Because it's a very stupid league.
I think they're going to be very easy to move. And I've been thinking that even before it was signed. So we'll be back later in the week. Very fun times. We love you all. And good luck this week because there's going to be a lot happening. Happy draft week. Happy expansion draft. And happy, hopefully, big trade week. Love you all. Bye. And this podcast is actually brought to you by our Insiders Club, our Deep State NHL New York Ranger Insiders. Adam Cohen, Alex Gardner, Amber Cohensberger, Ben Waters, Ben Weber. Welcome back, Ben. Brian Doyle, Broadway Blue Shirt Bleeder, Chris F., another new insider, CJ Stellwagen, David Aronin, David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, Eric Stagg, the legend himself, George Obrinsky, part of the team, Jarian Marquez, JD, Jimmy Mack, Joshua Zarkin, I'm sorry, Josh, I probably messed it up, Christopher Florida, Lazek Kromkonski, Matthew Kine, the legend himself, Pavel Kodrev, Ryan, not me, another Ryan, Stephen Lemire, Stig Boole from Also, Swinegart, The Drop BK, Tommy O'Neill, seriously, Tori from Manhattan, like absolutely Tori from Manhattan, Vinny Hay, and Will Spector. Cannot do this podcast without you. The Insiders Chat was something this weekend. Thank you for being part of it. We love you guys. We'll be back probably with a lot more crazy stuff this week. We'll see you then. Bye.